Welcome to Feeding His Sheep Podcast, brought to you by A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. Today is Friday, so we're having Flashback Fridays, where I reach back into the archives of sermons that I preached some 20 years ago, and we seek to see what God would say to us in His Word. So take your Bible, and let's listen to God's Word together.
I want you to think to yourselves, don't answer out loud. But you see if you agree with this statement or not. Nothing bad ever happens to God's children. Now you just think about that. See if you agree with that or not. Nothing bad ever happens to God's children. Now, when you find yourself in a hard place, how do you respond? Maybe you're in a bad marriage. He's selfish. He's insensitive. He doesn't really care about your needs. He's a workaholic. He's obsessed with work. That's all he wants to do. And when he comes home, his mind is still on work. Or maybe she's always nagging, never satisfied. No matter what you do, it's never the right thing or it's never enough. She always wants to just spend more and more. As fast as you can make it, she's spending it, and even faster. And as you look at your marriage, you say, there's no hope for it ever getting any better. He's been this way for 15 years. I can't change him. I've tried. She's been this way ever since we got married. There's no hope. If you find yourself in a bad marriage, how are you responding? Or maybe you have a chronic sickness and you're constantly battling weakness, pain. You've asked the Lord to heal you, but He hasn't chosen to do so. And so you're having to live every day with that sickness, and it affects everything in your life. How are you responding? Or maybe you are in an unbearable job situation. It's a dead-end street. The boss is a tyrant. The benefits are pitiful. You keep being looked over for that promotion that you think you deserve and that you have earned. It's a dead-end situation as far as you're concerned. And you're stuck. You can't get out of it. How are you responding? Or maybe you're under financial pressures. And it seems that you're always under financial pressures. About the time you get your head above the water, then the car needs repairs. Or the roof leaks. Or you find out your kid needs braces. Or there are medical bills that pile up. And as you are looking, you can't even find the tunnel, much less the light at the end of the tunnel. It seems that this is just my life. There's no relief in sight. How are you responding to that? Or maybe your plans for your life are just not working out like you had hoped. You wanted to go off to college, but you're stuck at home. Or maybe the college that you really wanted to go to, your SAT scores were not high enough and they didn't accept you. So you're now having to go to the college of your second choice and you really don't want to be there. Or maybe you planned to go to college to be popular, to be involved in many clubs, to have a lot of friends, and instead you're finding yourself in your dorm room studying all the time. Things are just not working out like you planned. How are you responding to that? Now, usually when we find ourselves in a hard place, we respond one of three ways. Number one, response is we get angry, we get bitter, or we get depressed and in despair. And we think, God, I don't like it. I don't want to be in this situation. I'm mad. I'm angry. I resent you letting this happen to me, God. And we get mad and we get bitter and we get hard. Or if your personality is so inclined, instead of getting angry, you get depressed. And you get discouraged. And you just want to give up. The second way we may respond in the hard place is what I call offensive obedience. Offensive obedience. We stay in the situation and we obey God in the situation, but we are offended by it. Our obedience is a duty. It's a chore. It's a burden. Okay, God, I'll stay in this marriage because I know you hate divorce, but I don't like it. And it's a bitter pill to swallow. So I call that offensive obedience. We obey God, but we're offended by the situation. And we are not obeying Him from the heart. I'll seek to be that good employee in this situation, Lord. But it is wearisome to be obedient to You in this situation. Or there's a third response as possible. Same situations now. But rather than bitterness and anger and depression or offensive obedience, there's a response of joy and praise. Yes, I'm praising You, Lord, in this situation. Instead of being bitter. Instead of offensive obedience, there's joyful obedience from the heart. I mean a genuine praise and rejoicing in that chronic sickness. A genuine joy and praise in those financial pressures. In that bad situation, in that bad marriage, in those frustrated plans. Well, now what makes the difference in how you respond? Situation's the same. Three possible responses. Now what makes the difference in which one of those responses you have? I think the difference is if you truly understand or not God's infinite goodness. When you truly believe that God is good, then even in a hard situation, you can have joy and genuine praise. You know, we sing, God is so good. That was a very popular song back when I was in high school in the late 60s. We sang it. God is so good. But do we really believe that God is good? Do we really believe that? When the cancer test comes back negative, we don't have any trouble saying, oh, God is good, isn't He? It was benign. But what about when the cancer test comes back positive? Can we still say God is good? God is so good. Well, this morning, I believe God wants us to look at His goodness. There are some here today that need this truth. You're in a hard situation, and you're not responding in genuine joy and praise. And you need... God's word to you is, behold My goodness. Embrace My goodness in this situation. And then you will be able to have genuine joy. And not happiness necessarily, but genuine joy and praise. First, and I invite you to take your bulletins and turn to your outline there. First, let's define God's goodness. Now, did you realize that the original Saxon meaning of our English word God is the good? G-O-D, G-O-O-D. You ever notice the closeness there? So the original Saxon meaning of God is the good one. Now, first of all, God's goodness can be defined as the sum total of His divine attributes. Or His divine excellencies. Now turn over in Exodus chapter 33. The sum total Take all of God's attributes, and if you want to put one word that covers them all, you could use the word goodness. Goodness. And this is borne out in Exodus 33. The passage concerns Moses. He's just led the Israelites out of Egypt through the power of God. They're down at Mount Sinai. Moses makes a request of God. And that request is in verse 18, chapter 33. Then Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. Moses says, God, I've been on the mountain with you, and I've seen a lot that I never imagined before. But I want to see everything. I want to see your glory. I want to know you in your fullness. That's what he asked. Look at what God said to him, verse 19. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, that is his full glory, for no man can see me and live. You've heard me say it before, and I believe that it's true that the full glory of God is such a awesome phenomenon that it would literally drain the physical life out of our being to be in the presence of the full glory of God. You look back in the Scriptures on a few occasions when some of the prophets saw not the full glory of God, but they saw enough of God's glory that they fell down as dead men, the Scripture said. They fainted. It blew them away. And if you ever saw the full glory, it would just drain the life right out of it, physical life. You say, well, what about in heaven? Well, you'll have a glorified body in heaven. It'll be different. You'll be able to stand it then, hallelujah, and see Him face to face. But now, he said, you cannot see my glory. I'll show you my goodness. Now, look in verse 34 when the goodness takes place. Verse 6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, and he's showing him his goodness, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the grandchildren, to the third and fourth generations. And Moses made haste to bow toward the earth and worship. Now, God is showing Moses His goodness, and in showing him His goodness, He lists these attributes of Himself, His compassion, His grace. So you see, God's goodness is the sum total of His excellencies. His goodness involves that compassion that God has toward